I hadn't gone more than 10 steps when I realized that I was totally lost and without any sense of direction. Facing that terrible wind, I couldn't see anything. And I will admit right here and for the record that I began to feel a certain uneasiness. Call it panic, if you will. Scared silly. Terrified. I had just about decided to throw in the towel of life into the ring of something. Into the ring of fate. I just about decided to give up the struggle when, all at once, my nose picked up a scent in the snow. I can tell you that there aren't too many scents in a snowstorm. Snow covers up most of your scents, don't you see? And that makes it tough on a dog because, under normal conditions, we rely pretty heavily on our noses. When that nose blanks out, fellers, it throws our whole navigation system out of whack. Okay. I happened to lower my nose to a point just a few inches above the snow, and I began getting a reading. I walked a few steps further to the north and picked up another one. Now, if you're familiar with the navigation business, you know that one reading isn't worth much because it's impossible to draw a straight line between one point. It takes 2 points to make a line, see? And once I got the second reading, I knew that I was on to something. I had the 2 points I needed, and a line that pointed somewhere besides oblivion. I went several more steps and ran another check, and sure enough, there was point number 3. Even though the road was buried under the snow, I knew that I was following it. Following the road, that is, not the snow. Well, I was following the snow too, but forget it. I had found a scent that would lead me straight to Slim's house. You want to guess what it was? You'll probably guess that it was a trail of gasoline that had leaked out of the flatbed pickup. Nice try. The flatbed leaked gas, all right, and oil too, but the scent of gasoline doesn't last long. It evaporizes in the air. No, sir, the scent I had picked up came from the tires of Billy's pickup, which, if you recall, I had very carefully marked the night before. Which just goes to prove how important it is for a dog to mark every tire of every vehicle that comes onto the ranch. A guy never knows when one of those routine marking jobs might save his life. Well, once I had discovered my own mark in the snow, finding the house became a simple matter of switching over to instruments and running periodic checks of the NavCom system. A piece of cake, in other words. No problem. In fact, the only problem came when I got so far out in the lead, Slim had to call me back several times. Shucks, I was ready to take her on home and curl up in front of that stove. When old Slim saw the house looming up ahead in the blizzard, he gave a cowboy yell and screeched,
"Yahoo!
You did it, Hanky! By gollies, you found the house!" Well, what did he expect? I mean, you put the head of ranch security in charge of things and you start seeing results, right? I was the first to reach the house. I ran straight to the door and laid a mark on it just to establish the fact that I had personally led a brave team of explorers through snow and ice and howling winds and conditions that weren't fit for man nor beasts. And now I was planting our flag, so to speak, on the summit of the threshold. Slim arrived next, puffing steam in the air, his cheeks rosy red from the cold, his beard covered with frost, and his glasses fogged over. Last, and definitely least, came little Mr. Squeakbox.
"Oh, Hank, I'm so cold, and this old leg of mine..."
And so forth. Slim opened the door, and we all staggered inside. Drover and I made a dash for the stove, while Slim stripped down to his red long johns and his socks, and collapsed into his easy chair.
Whew. Dogs, I don't know about you, but I am wore out. That's a terrible storm out there, as bad as any blizzard I ever saw. We're lucky we made it back to the house. I should point out that luck had nothing to do with it.
Just then, the phone rang. Slim scowled at it.
"Well, there's Loper wondering what happened to us."
He picked it up.
"Hello? Hello? Can't hardly hear you, Loper.
Something must be iced over, either the string or the tin cans. He told Loper about our experiences in the blizzard, including the part about me guiding the expedition to the house. So we're afoot. I'm sure sorry, but man alive, I couldn't find the dadgum road. It's bad out there. Well, how's Molly doing? I studied his face. He pressed his lips together and shook his head. Well, that settles it. I'll start out afoot. Huh? No, I told you I'd get up there with the medicine, and that's what I'm gonna do. Don't worry, I'll make it. He hung up the phone and stared at us for a long time. Boys, the thought of going back out in that storm kind of shakes me up, and I ain't scared of anything. He stood up and started pulling on his clothes. The phone rang. Hello? Who is this? Oh, speak up, Loper. Can't hear you. Yes, you're right about that. Well, sure, it's risky, but... Yes, he did. He sure did. I was right proud of the old... Slim's face rose into a big smile, and suddenly he was looking directly at me. I held my head high and thumped my tail on the floor. By George, old Slim was sure... You know, that just might work. Tie the bottle around his neck and send him on down the road. Huh? Whoa, wait a minute, hold on, halt! Tie the bottle around his neck and send him down the road? Who was the him to be sent down the road? And whose neck was being volunteered for what? By golly, Loper, I believe that's the best idea of the year. I'll get him on his way. He hung up the phone and flashed a big grin and took a step in my direction. Here, Hanky. Come here, boy. Oh, yeah? Here, Hanky, my foot. If old Slim thought that this Hanky was going to... No way was he gonna pitch me out and... There must have been some mistake, because surely... I went into stealthy retreat mode and began slinking back towards the bedroom, so to speak, while casting glances back towards Slim to see if he had any crazy notions about, well, following me. He did seem to have such notions, and yes, he was following me. Come here, Hanky. I got a little job for you. He came in a slow walk. I moved away at a slow walk. He picked up the pace. I picked up the pace. He made a dash for me, and I made a dash for the back of the house. Hank, come back here. Come back here? Was he losing his mind? What kind of fool did he think he was dealing with? Hey, I might appear to be dumb on a few rare occasions, but when the chips are down, and when they're my chips, fellers, I don't just stand around looking simple. I run and hide under the nearest bed. I went streaking down the hall and slithered my way under the bed, fighting my way through all the cobwebs and dust and lint that had accumulated there. Jenny wool, we call it. I saw Slim's nose appear under the bed, then his eyes. He was wearing a crazy grin on his mouth. Hi, puppy. I see you. Yeah, well, he could look at me all he wanted, but as far as me coming out, no sale. Hank, get out from under that bed. No way, Charlie. I'll get the broom. So get the broom. He got the broom. He swept and he swatted, and I could have told him that no broom was going to flush me out from under that bed. At last, he gave up on the broom. His face appeared again. It didn't look so friendly this time. Hank, I've got this great opportunity for you. Yes, I knew all about his great opportunity. And I'm giving you one last chance to volunteer. And if you don't come out from under that bed, I'm a-gonna pull off the mattress and springs and kick your little doggy butt up between your shoulder blades. I took a deep breath and thought the deal over one last time. Slim needed help. The baby needed medicine. Duty was calling. I was the best dog for the job. Ah, what the heck? Maybe I could. I crawled out from under the bed and volunteered for the job. Yes, I knew it was going to be one of the most dangerous missions of my entire career. I knew there was a chance that I would never reach my destination, that I might be lost in a raging storm and never be heard from again. I knew all of that. But I also understood the terrible consequences that might occur if I didn't go. I might become a permanent freak. I would be laughed at and scorned. I would never win the heart of another woman. Girl dogs will forgive many flaws, but they aren't impressed by guys who wear their fannies up around their shoulder blades.